League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienema. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
DJ Bienema with us in studio from ESPN. I'm Paul Gallant. He's Joe George. It's Gallant and George. DJ and I were having a conversation about cleats. Off the air.
Yep.
DJ was still going on with that conversation about cleats as we were coming back because DJ wants to get me on his flag football team.
Yep.
Because he needs me.
Need is a strong word. Want is a stronger word. Would like you to join is
a
better.
Do you need a center?
We got our center, but he didn't play last week because he's a boxer. He doesn't live in D.C., but he spent time in D.C. He had to go to D.C. for a boxing match. But we'll get him back this week. We need him.
Okay.
We lost last week,
all right,
unfortunately.
Well, if you ever need someone to snap the ball, DJ, just, you know,
you're
let
the
me
alternative.
Know.
I'll think about it. I'll have my people call your people.
that's less than convinced. All right. Well, DJ, we were both together at Texans practice on Sunday. I wasn't able to go today. They changed the schedule this week. Let's start with the preseason game first. I was really happy about what I saw from the defensive line on Friday night, specifically Danielle Hunter.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, almost had a sack on a screen. That's hard to do and actually got a sack. So that was good to see. The D-line was obviously tenacious, getting upfield. So some of the things that we saw in camp, it translated into an actual game. Just their overall physicality, their ability to just drive off the ball, get upfield, things of that nature, fly around. They look fast. And that's one thing that we always hear the phrase, swarm. But they actually did look like they were swarming around. And if you can play with that intensity, play after play after play, you'll be able to be in a lot of football games because you'll be able to make enough plays. And again, on the opposite side, when you have what they have on offense, if your defense you just swarm, be physical, control the line of scrimmage, you'll be able to win a lot of games.
Are there any guys on defense that stood out to you, Bullock or any of the defensive linemen, Mario Edwards, from that game?
Yeah. Bullock really stood out to me.
That pick that he had.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out of bounds, but it was a pick.
Right, yeah. Yeah, nah, that was beautiful to see. I'm not going to lie, because it was – he necessarily wasn't, in the middle of the field, but he was, kind of to the left hash and then, zoomed over there. And the fact that he was even able to even make it, 50-50 was – I'm like, oh, no, he has some serious range.
I'm curious about where he's at in practice now, because I thought it was interesting on Sunday he was working at practice with the first team. Now, it was because Jalen Petrie was moved up to the nickel position, but – after practice, D'Amico was so complimentary of the rookies, Lassiter, who was back at practice today, Cade Stover, and on top of that, Bullock. I am curious how much Bullock can perhaps, from now until the start of the regular season, fight his way into getting actual playing time defensively.
Today, he was running more mainly with the twos, okay. But I am curious because the safeties right now are Jimmy and Eric, and they obviously have Petrie the nickel. So can Bullock find a way to usurp Eric Murray? And I think, we're getting closer to that by about an hour, in all honesty. Because, Eric is obviously, he's a solid, sound football player. He's going to be where he needs to be. Understands the scheme, things of that nature. So is it when do you finally hand the keys off to Bullock? Is it when he has the scheme down to where you know he's not going to make any, bonehead plays where it's a busted coverage? Because that's really what the difference is. Can you count on Bullock to not allow, give up explosive? With Eric Murray, from what I've seen throughout camp, he's where he needs to be consistently. He's not going to make that many plays, but he's a solid football player. And for me, it's all right, whenever Bullock catches up in terms of the cerebral aspect, then you kind of go with him over Eric.
Has there been any change in your view to the cornerback two position? Lassiter's been out for a week. He's back today. Is there anyone that, you know, gained ground to win that spot, or is he going to be the other starting corner?
Yeah, I think the ground that was gained was like if, you know, Usain Bolt, he was running at 200 and like let them kind of get like a little like 3 meter head start and still won by like, you know, 50 meters. That's kind of what that is. Like, it's such a wide gap. And yeah, he did miss some time, but so did Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda missed just as much time, if not more, than Kamari. So for me,
it's over.
It's been over. It's been over since minicamp for me.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it at the very beginning, and yeah, I was stunned that it was over that quickly.
Yeah.
Is it more about Lassiter than the other guys?
Combination of both. Lassiter is good though. He's good. And again, like if it's even, you just go with the younger guy who's cost effective for the next 3-4 years. But also, like, he's just better than the other two options. And again, Jeff Okuda could have maybe, but he's missed time. So he could have possibly made it a competition, but he missed time, and that's kind of that, you know? Like, Kamari just came back today. Jeff Okuda's still out. I think he has, like, a hip injury or something. So kind of is what it is. It's wrapped up. It's Kamari's show. So we'll see how that goes when the season gets here.
Well, so on the other side, we saw CJ and Tank connect for the touchdown. We'll start with the good stuff first.
Yeah.
What did you see from the offense in the two series the starters gave from us in the preseason game?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, especially on that third down, it's 39, and it goes for a 34-yard touchdown. It just shows that you can't run basic coverages against this offense because they're going to be able to pick it apart. You're going to have, like, this year is going to really be about which DCs can confuse Bobby the most. Because if Bobby's able to stay ahead of you, with CJ and those weapons, it's going to be, you can forget about it. So it's really going to come down to which DCs can throw enough confusing actions at them and then hope that the defensive line can get to CJ. So that's what's going to come out to me for now. Because, again, like, it's funny. It's kind of looking like last year where CJ kind of started slow. The offense started slow, and now they've started to pick it up. Like, today, CJ looked incredible. Yeah, there was one throw where I was just like, it's probably less than 5 guys that can make that throw. Maybe, like, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, maybe Geno Smith, because Geno Smith can make some really, really crazy passes. And that's about it. There's one pass, like, down the sideline. Tank ran a corner out right in front, right over the cornerback, in front of the safety, only in one spot where Tank can get it, where, like, Tank couldn't jump up for it because if he jumped over, it would be incomplete because, you know, they broke it up. It had to be where Tank couldn't necessarily move. It was literally like a 30-yard handoff. That's what it looked like. So now CJ starting to like really roll, and it's kind of made me think like I'm gonna have to, you know, revisit my divisional pick.
Already?
I might have to. Offense has been looking good, so I'm gonna have to revisit that. I might have to revisit that pick.
I like hearing that the offense is catching up because I haven't really been able to catch many of the practices. It was great to see that throw that Stroud made to Dell, and Dell, what he was able to do after the catch.
Yeah.
Like confirmation that Dell, especially with the punt return to play before, that he's back. So we all feel good about the passing game right now. DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN, Houston Texans beat reporter with us in studio. I want to shift to talking about the running game. Mm-hmm. I actually asked D'Amico on Sunday, why was the running game struggling? And he brought up blocking at the second level. Damian Pierce was the running back that got the first work in Friday's preseason game. Joe Mixon is back at practice. Is Pierce in trouble here? What did you think about the way that he looked? I honestly thought that he was completely, because I think a lot of people are wondering whether or not, hang on, DJ. There's a lot of guys, whether this is fair or unfair, I don't think it's fair, that are coming after Damian Pierce because what they saw on Friday was more of the same. Damian Pierce isn't doing anything. Joe, you thought about Damian Pierce.
My view on it was, you look at the four carries. It's only 4 carries.
Yeah.
But he only gets 4 yards. Where I just feel like when I watch Cam Akers or Gumbo Wale, they just seem to even just be able to fall forward an extra 2 yards.
Okay.
And get something. It feels like Pierce just runs in to the defensive lineman, and he, if it's not perfect,
he can't go anywhere
with it. And I'm just like, what's the value of a guy when your offensive line is not good on the interior right now during these preseason games and practices and last season?
How can
you really have a guy back there that doesn't have any explosiveness like we're seeing from the other guys?
Okay, that's fair. So when you said trouble, I thought, like, do you think he's going to get cut?
No, I think it's a little bit like Is it possible at all?
He's not getting cut. No, he's not getting cut.
I don't think they can because of the talent.
He might not be
a scheme fit, but I feel like the tape that he's put on, someone's going to trade for him.
Someone pick him up and, you know.
If this doesn't work.
So, I think all fair concerns, the only context I'll give is, you know, no Laramie. No Shaq, no Tyus.
I thought he had no chance on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
some of those plays, I watched some of them back. I need to watch more of them back because you actually can watch all 22 of the preseason. I just found that out yesterday. Did not know that was a new thing. But I felt like there were a couple of runs where, I mean, he was screwed from the beginning.
No matter what
the zone scheme was, I don't know what he could have done with that.
Yeah, no, I won't really do too much judging in that aspect. I mean, again, like Laramie, when he was back on, what was that, Sunday? When Damian ran behind Laramie, it was two of his best runs of all camp. But I think that's fair because even today, like, you know, Joe Mixon was back, got some carries. It wasn't like he was going crazy. So I think it might just be overall an issue in terms of just run blocking for the entire unit. So we'll see. Obviously, it's early because even today, like, it's not like they had most of their horses on the D-line practicing today. Today was kind of like a tapered day for the D-line per se. And there weren't that many big runs from the first team offense. So I think that just might be, but I get what you're saying, Joe, about like how Cam Akers, like you could see a little bit more. But to be fair, Cam has gone against, you know, like
fourth string guys.
Right, guys that might be selling insurance in like a month. Or doing radio.
You can play
Oh,
kiss my ass. Could be playing on our flag football team. We can shoot high.
You should be recruiting, DJ.
Yeah, but, well, you're right. I should be recruiting.
Okay, so the unfortunate news on Sunday, we saw some guys return. We saw first off Joe Mixon, second off Laramie Tunsil, and we did see Christian Harris return for a second.
Yeah.
And then Christian Harris limped off the field. What's going on here?
Yeah. I think it's like a calf issue, but
is it the same issue based off of what you understand as that he was dealing with before?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like,
well, that's at least good. It's not something new, but now you wonder what the hell that is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see when he gets back. I mean, because like so much of his game is predicated on athleticism. Like he's not one of those guys that's, you know, there's no knock on him. He's only third year. He's not going to be able to solely win off of his mind. Some guys can. So like he thrives off of being able to, you know, read and react at a very, very, because he's a freakish athlete. Like some people think like he's like a top five athlete on the team. So, him being out isn't great. I think Jake Hansen's replaced him / Henry Toto. So we'll kind of see how that looks. But I do think with this defensive line and Aziz, they'll be able to like withstand losing Christian Harris. Aziz has been an absolute maniac throughout camp, so that's good.
If Christian Harris is out, is that the one spot that like when cut day happens, you think they look at a veteran to bring in to replace him, or is it safety or corner? Like, what's like the free agency need that they could address somehow still this offseason?
Just keep adding on that. Just keep adding to the O-line.
You want the O-line. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, because, like, again, like, if you bring in a linebacker, you know, that's not even moving, like, that's not moving the needle at all. Like, I don't even think that gets you a win in a quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, same if you bring in like a corner, unless like that corner is like Stephon Gilmore. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy like that, right? But there's nobody out there right now, outside of like maybe like Justin Simmons, you know.
It's crazy that he's still unsigned.
Yeah. I've heard that he just doesn't participate in camp.
Oh, okay. Understandable.
Yeah. So I guess money / that. So
the Quandre Diggs deal though, 1 year, $5 million
max.
Tennessee. I mean, that's a bargain.
Yeah, no, safety reset. The safety, you know, the market has been reset a little bit where it kind of be depreciated. But, again, like, I don't think – there's nobody that you bring in, like, that's going to, like, move the needle in terms of wins and losses. Or even, like, winning a quarter if it's at a linebacker spot or a backup safety spot. Me is spend that money on the offensive line, continue to add pieces there. Because think about all the injuries that they had last year on the offensive line. Imagine they did, even though some of the guys weren't good and some of the guys hurt, imagine they didn't trade for Josh Jones or they didn't trade for Kendrick Green or if they didn't sign Shaq Mason or if they didn't. Like, cause they invested a lot on the offensive line, you know. I remember they even, because there was 1 week, I think it's the Steelers, they brought in Gerard Christian back and they started him along with Austin Deculus. And they, so like, they both rotating. But, like, again, like, that gave them a chance to, like, keep CJ upright. Because for me, it's all about keeping CJ upright and having as much resources invested there as possible.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He is DJ Bien-Aimé, Houston Texans beat reporter for ESPN. How much more do you expect to see the starters in this upcoming preseason game Saturday against the Giants?
I would assume a half. Because I remember last year in the second official preseason, well, the second actual preseason game at the Hall of Fame game, obviously. Texans, again, I think it was against the Dolphins. The offense played a half. I think CJ led them to like 3 points. But, you know, you saw some good things in that. And we obviously saw that show itself throughout the season. But I think a half. And then you shut them down for the rest of the offseason. Let's get ready for week one at Indianapolis. Mm-hmm.
What is the, like, what's your view on the wide receiver room? Because there's going to be some cuts that happen. It seems tough.
It's the deepest position group, I would assume, with actual consequences, right?
Because yeah.
Defensive line, there's a lot of guys, you feel like they're all going to be there. Wide receiver, who's on the bubble?
I think Mechie's on the bubble.
John Mechie, interesting.
Yeah, he's on the bubble. It hurts my heart to say that. Yeah, he's on the bubble for sure.
What's the reason, in your opinion, based off of what you've seen?
I think he's lost a little bit of confidence. You know, because again, like, he hasn't played to the standard that he thinks he should be playing at since 2021, right? December 2021. We're in 2024. That's a long time, you know? Obviously, you know, things out of his control that, like, kind of threw that off. But, yeah, it's more of a – I remember, like, there was a walkthrough practice last week, and he was dropping so many passes. Mm. It was a walkthrough practice. And for me, that indicated, okay, no, he's losing his confidence. Because routine, some routine catches, he's just dropping. And it's like, all right. Because, again, I've been a receiver. I know what it's like when you lose your confidence. It ain't fun. Because, again, like, if your only thing you got to do is catch the ball, and you're struggling with that. I remember right after practice, he stayed and caught extra passes, things of that nature. But for him, I think it's just more of a mental thing right now, just trying to get over a mental hurdle. So I think he's on the bubble, unfortunately. I wonder if Robert Woods can fight to stay on the roster now.
Feels like he's had some help because, yeah, Xavier Hutchinson, I felt like, hasn't really gone a lot further than maybe where he was supposed to be about a week and a half ago.
Right.
Ben Skowronek's been making one-handed catches in practice a lot, and they traded for him, so that probably helps him, but who knows.
Yeah, Noah Brown's been hurt. You could easily put, like, Noah on.
Brown's on the roster, right?
Yeah, he'll be on the roster, but you can, like, put him on, like, short-term IR.
Gotcha. And keeping these other guys.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see a scenario like that. But man, yeah, nah. So I would say bubble right now is Mech. Ben, obviously. Robert. I still think Hutch makes it because Hutch still gets reps with the ones. He'll get reps with all three, like one, two, and three. But when the twos go out there immediately, like he's getting reps immediately. Like he's usually like that first receiving group that's out there. And that's what makes me concerned for Mechie is like he's no longer in that first group with the second team, which means that he's falling down the depth chart. So obviously, you know, you got your top four. I think Noah will be on it. And now you have just basically like four guys kind of fighting for the last two spots. So
is there any other cuts like you're keeping an eye on? Like the running back room at Cam Akers? Like, what are the other tough decisions that Nick Caserio has?
I would say, I think running back, because, like, you're right. Right, we've seen enough from Cam Akers where we're like, right? And, you know, he could kind of be that fourth running back, and you could get him in there sometimes and maybe just make Damian, you know, your punt returner, because he did that last year, make some plays. Have Joe Mixon in a rotation with Dare and, you know, Cam Akers. So he's for sure the interesting one because he does have the vision. He's played in this system. He's obviously a scheme fit. He's had some success in the NFL. So I think that one I'm really interested to see in that regard. Anybody? I'm actually interested to see, like, is Case Keenum fighting for his job? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
our beloved Coug leader.
Like, he was the fourth quarterback off the bench on Friday.
Yeah, I just assumed he wasn't gonna play.
So I'm curious.
Because he's the longest tenured quarterback in the history of Houston. He's fine. Come on, you guys are haters.
I'm not a hater. I'm just asking.
You know what?
I'm asking a question.
See my pause right now?
You didn't. You didn't. You didn't even go to. You didn't even go to. U of H.
Yeah, but I claim them like many bandwagons. I've claimed. I claim them.
You're,
the basketball team's good, and yeah.
you're phony. Yeah. That's what phonies do.
That's how you fit in. Is you be a phony? That's I call true. It being a chameleon.
You know, sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You see what shirt he's wearing?
Yeah.
So you're wearing it. I want the audience to know. He just said Cougars. He put the Cougar sign while wearing a University of Texas
hat. That's right. Hook him.
Nah, he just did hook him.
Hook him.
This is your radio. This is your radio host, fellas, ladies and gentlemen. This is your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do what I got to do.
Biggest fraud.
Until I see no changes, can a brother get a little peace? There's war on the streets. There's war in the Middle
East. Sean, what is he talking about? Sean, can you help me? What is he talking about? Please, Sean, I need help. What is he talking about? Sean has nothing. Sean has nothing. Sean,
the way it is.
Sean is confused also. Everybody here is confused. There's five people here and everybody's confused except Paul.
I can keep riffing.
Anyway.
You still got to let him go. Sometimes.
Yeah, no. Understandable. Eventually understandable. He'll run out of steam. Understandable, yeah.
He is DJ Bieniemy. DJ, any final thoughts about, first off, I guess, what you've seen this past week and as we get closer and closer? Because I think we're both at the point right now where we're like, let's
get to the games.
Regular season.
Yeah. I texted a group chat today.
Okay. A group chat for?
My friends. And I said, I might have to book my ticket to New Orleans. Yeah. I'm starting to buy into the hype.
You're burying the lead.
Starting to buy into the hype.
Should have come in here from the beginning.
I'm starting to buy into the hype. Okay. I think like, you know, the addition of Stephon Diggs is just going to, ironically, because you know, right? What he was trending for the last game, quote unquote, looking like a bad team, even though he wasn't. He just has such a, you know, leadership trait where guys like really gravitate towards him, and he's a legitimate good teammate where he's always giving guys pointers and things of that nature to help them be better. And this team has a good blend of guys that have played on teams that were trying to win at the highest level versus, you know, obviously you have a bunch of kids in a sense like CJ, Tank, Nico, et cetera, Stingley. But when you have other guys like a Jimmy Ward who's played in the Super Bowl, Aziz, went to the Super Bowl. He went there. Danielle Hunter, I think he was on that Vikings team that went to the NFC Championship game, was on the team that won a division, even they lost to the Giants, et cetera, et cetera. There's just so many, there's enough depth. Foley, the D-tackle. Fatukasi. He was on the Jaguars team that broke through, was able to get to the second round. There's just like Joe Mixon, who went to the Super Bowl. Like, there's just like that perfect blend of veterans and young guys that they can all mesh together and be able to possibly make a run in the Super Bowl. Again, CJ can make throws that like only a few guys can, and they're gonna need that. That's the only way you're gonna be able to beat a team that has Patrick Mahomes or some of the quarterbacks in the AFC. You're gonna need your weapons to show up, and you need your quarterback to show up. And again, like, CJ is starting to round in the form that I needed to see him in, and it's like, you know, if this continues, we might be looking at a team that legitimate, like, you know, everybody was like, oh yeah, the Chiefs, you know, they could be the team to compete with the Chiefs, but you still got to see it mesh together, and the way it's meshing,
it
starts to give me hope.
Come on, yeah, yeah.
What?
Say the word.
I can't say they're going to the Super Bowl.
Say
but
the word. Say the word.
I can't say they're going to the Super Bowl.
No, you don't have to say they're going to the Super Bowl. There's a word. They like to say it all the time. I'm not talking about iron sharpening iron. I'm talking about something else.
Swarm.
Oh, yeah. Oh! Did it?
I think you still got to walk back your AFC South take first.
No, it's fine.
You can lose the division and still make a run to the Super Bowl. You can do that. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it. I'm just saying.
We know you can, but all right, okay. So I need to tell me if I'm soft or not. Okay,
soft or not? Okay, he's probably soft, Sean.
Okay, I know that last year when you came on the B's after Tank Dell got hurt.
Because of Bobby Slowick. Because Bobby Slowick.
Because he shouldn't have been out there.
But
was Bobby's
fault? I don't. See?
100%.
See? Thank you.
Good teammate.
I'm bigger than
Tank Dell. I wish he'd be on a goal line package.
Anyway, go ahead.
I don't want him on punt return. I don't want him to get hurt on punt
I do think that's soft, though.
Like I don't see what the real benefit. When you have other guys like Steven Sims and Damian Pierce and There's plenty of people that can do punt return. Why am I risking Tank Dell on punt return?
I don't want Damian Pierce doing punt return. He can't catch.
He can do kick return.
Yeah, but that's different. That's a different type of catch.
Catching a punt.
Steven Sims can do it. Xavier Hutchinson can do it.
Yeah, you do. Okay. So you're not soft.
Okay.
He's not soft. Not
good start.
He's not soft.
Put Dell back out there.
He's not soft.
Not on the goal line.
No, I think that's all fair because, like, you know, like, Steven Sims is clearly, like, a pretty good punt returner. The only issue is, like, the roster construction, right? Like, are you going to keep him active just so he can return punts? But he does get rep with the twos. Mm-hmm. So he might be able to make this team because he does give you special team value and he does get rep with the twos. And there were times where Bobby Slowick was, you know, giving him reverses and things of that nature, even though, you know, he would, you know, have the had a vision of a bat on a couple of plays, but that's okay. He's a dynamic playmaker if he has the ball in space. So, Joe, you're not soft.
That is DJ Bianima. You can catch his work for ESPN covering your Houston Texans. Texans swarm. DJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save.